The Derek Hunter Show.
We have a special guest joining us that I think is talking about a very, very important issue and a very, very important push that he's making out there. It's Louisiana Senator David Vitter. Welcome to the show, Senator.
Thanks very much. Great to be with you.
Now, you're in the United States Senate. You're in the Congress. So you're exempt now, essentially, from Obamacare. But it's only because last week the Office of Personnel Management decided
right.
that you guys can now, the subsidies that we can't get if we're pushed into
right.
these exchanges that are being set up around the country, you guys can get them in there. We spared members of Congress and their staffs, and I know you're
right.
appalled by this, and you've introduced legislation to try and make sure that Congress actually lives up to the laws that they passed on the rest of us. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, this is exactly what America rightly hates about Washington,
mm-hmm.
that Washington sets itself apart as somehow a higher ruling elite. And, you know, one of the first things folks of every party, of every political persuasion want changed is that all the rules, regs, everything that applies to America needs to apply to Washington and the president and Congress as well.
It seems like a no-brainer, but it's not the case.
And certainly that needs to start with Obamacare, and yet here we go again, going through exactly the same old Washington response. We have a big problem. Obamacare is a train wreck. Fine, we'll fix it for Washington. Well, what the flip about fixing it for the rest of America?
Right.
We need to fix it for America, not fix it for Washington. And one way to try to ensure that it's fixed for America is, in the meantime, make damn sure it applies to Washington
mm-hmm.
and Congress every bit as it applies to middle America.
If you guys and your staffs aren't impacted, you don't feel what the law is like,
right.
then you're never going to be able to get the law right, or maybe, God forbid, repeal a law that's bad. But
that's right.
This thing that Eric Erickson at Red State, buddy of mine and I assume yours,
yeah.
Wrote yesterday that he's got sources on the Hill who are telling him that the National Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee and the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee have essentially declared a truce over this issue, meaning we're not going to hold it against anybody, we're not going to bring it up, because this is both sides of the aisle want this.
Right.
Leadership on the Republican side, on your side, want it just as bad as Harry Reid and the Democrats do.
Well, I believe, unfortunately, that's true, because there was reporting going back several months before it became public and sort of blew up, that some leaders on both sides of the aisle were scheming to get this done. And again, that is exactly what America hates about Washington. It's also what a lot of conservatives and Republicans around the country despise about some establishment Republicans in Washington. We can't put up with this. And when we're talking about Obamacare, those establishment Republicans who are doing that are basically giving up the issue, as far as I'm concerned, because they have no credibility anymore to the extent they're involved in this stuff.
How do you, as a member of the United States Senate, how do you hold them accountable? How do you get your bill even a vote if your own leadership won't go to bat for you?
Yeah, it's going to be uphill, obviously, but I tell you how I'm trying. I just wrote today to all of the leaders, House and Senate, and that starts with John Boehner, and that includes Mitch McConnell, also Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, saying this OPM rule is absolutely ridiculous, and we need to legislatively undo it, and you need to fix it. And I also wrote to the president saying the same thing. Now, I'm not a fool. I don't expect to get many volunteers
mm-hmm.
to help do that from them, but I'm going to sure as heck be fighting for that as soon as we're in session after Labor Day, fighting so that every member of Congress, every member of the administration is treated like every American, and we have to live by exactly the same rules Americans do.
What is the rationale? I've just seen that the OPM has ruled this, but what is the rationale for them saying these certain sets of people can receive an employer subsidy, but nobody else can? There's nothing in the legislation that allows that.
The rationale is pure, simple political push. I mean, they have been heavily lobbied over the last several months, and as you suggested, sadly, I am convinced that has been a bipartisan effort among establishment figures in Washington. And this effort was so great that the reporting is that the president got personally involved in this, to make sure this happened. And this was announced last Friday initially. Surprise, surprise, just coincidentally, as soon as Congress had left town to get away from the
right.
crime. It's just typical Washington BS, and it's exactly what America rightly hates about Washington.
Does the repeal effort of Mike Lee, the don't fund it at all, does that stand any chance whatsoever? We see evidence that leadership on the Republican side is actively lobbying members to not be a part of that. Is there any chance that we get out from under this monster?
Well, unfortunately, our best chance was the last election, and we as a country blew it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't blow it with my vote, but we as a country blew it. But I'm going to keep fighting. I'm certainly supporting the defunding effort. I'm on that letter. I'm going to fight it in every way I can. But it sure takes a lot of credibility away from the conservative side when you have some establishment Republicans behind the scenes doing what we're talking about in terms of protecting themselves, protecting their staff.
Senator Vitter, we're talking to David Vitter, Republican senator of Louisiana. I have an idea that I've written about before. I used to do health policy at the Heritage Foundation I did this gig. And there is a possible equal protection clause if you want to go at this piecemeal. People are having children much later in life. So there's a possibility that somebody could be 25 years old and their parents be on Medicare.
Yeah.
Obamacare says that you can stay on your parents' insurance until you're 26. But if your parents are on Medicare, Medicare is very explicitly for people only 65 or disabled. You can't be on there. Could an equal protection clause argument be made against that part of the bill?
That's a great point. I'd never thought of that before, certainly, and never heard that argument before, but I'll look at it. It's a great point.
Yeah, because you can't be on your parents' insurance, although there's always the chance that some liberal judge will say, well, then we'll just open up Medicare to them.
Yeah. But that might be the danger, but that's a great point, and it's an excellent argument.
As we move forward, what is next in we've got this October 1st deadline coming up. This thing looks like it's going to happen one way or the other. What can people expect? What should people be aware of?
It's real simple in a sense. People need to express their outrage. I think people are so beaten down that they're just taken. And I understand that reaction with what's been going on the last couple of years. But people need to get up and really express their outrage in no uncertain terms. That's what's going to change the debate. That's what's going to potentially change things.
Well, we hear the argument all the time that no entitlement has ever been repealed once it's been put in place, but that's not entirely true. Medicare, catastrophic, was repealed after seniors hurled themselves at Senator or Congressman Dan Rostenkowski. So maybe we need to find some invigorated seniors to go out there and make their voices heard along with everybody else this August recess. Senator David Vitter, Republican of Louisiana, I appreciate your time today, sir. Good luck in this fight. Don't give up.
Thank you. Great being with you.